Rumor Mill, written by Glimmer Glamour, read by Mistborn Hero. Fandom Star Wars, rated teen and up audiences. Relationship Cody Obi-Wan Kenobi. Additional tags for Vampire Obi-Wan Kenobi, pining, feelings realization, unpleasant bias against both vampires and clones. Part 7 of the Sanguine series. Summary. Four times Cody deals with rumors and mistruths about his general, and one time Obi-Wan deals with the same regarding the clones. They lost the negotiator to Grievous less than a week after Cody finally got Obi-Wan to bite him. Cody had been thinking about it, about Obi-Wan curled down to him, the tickling brush of Obi-Wan's beard on his skin, and the cool tickle of Obi-Wan's breath on his throat. When the battle with Grievous started, he had thought about it extensively in the days after the event, the shivering knot feeling of Obi-Wan's teeth sliding into his throat, and then the strange pulling tug when Obi-Wan sucked and swallowed. It really hadn't hurt. It hadn't felt like anything, and even the slight of a needle in a blood vessel caused at least a small pinch. Cody had gotten good at finding a vein, but he had never managed to make the process painless. Obi-Wan had beaten him, and it had felt like nothing, really. The sensations had all come from Obi-Wan's breath, his beard, and the cool, soft press of his lips around the wound. The slight of his tongue. And Obi-Wan had looked better after having a drink. Better with his bottom lip stained red with Cody's blood. With it inside him, filling up his stomach and heart and all the vessels through his body. Cody had thought a lot about all of that in the days after Obi-Wan beat him. He thought about it while looking in the mirror at the complete absence of marks on his skin, trailing his fingertips over the undamaged skin with a ghost sensation of Obi-Wan close to him, close enough for Cody to smell his shampoo. He thought about it going about his duties, while filling out mindless paperwork about the mission that had gone wrong enough to lead to the bite, which somehow transformed the horror of seeing Obi-Wan muscled and treated like an animal into something banal and boring. And he thought about it in his bunk, his cock feeling and twitching the way it had when Obi-Wan had leaned close to him and mouthed at his neck. He thought about it while curling a hand around himself, imagining cool fingers instead, and a firm grip, and the brush of soft lips over his skin. It happened every night, all the way up to the loss of the negotiator. Cody tried not to think about it, even as he grabbed Obi-Wan during the destruction, snagging him before he could be sucked out into the blackness of space, and pulled him close, body remembering the feeling of closeness in a different situation. For a while, in the immediate aftermath of their destruction, and the rescue by another Third Systems Army cruiser, he finally managed to set it all aside. Obi-Wan ended up taking control of the Shen, the cruiser that had plucked up the survivors from space, after they came aboard. The captain of the vessel, a Bantoran named Thuri, awkwardly ceded temporary command of her craft on the bridge. At least she managed to maintain brief eye contact through the process. After the handoff, Cody went to find the Shan's commander, a man he had met once or twice named Dels. Dekar, at least, had strict regulations for the chain of command. Dels would maintain a level of direct control of his men while falling in line with any orders Cody gave while on the ship. Cody would try not to step on toes. He couldn't imagine he would like it if someone had shown up on the Negotiator and suddenly slipped above him in rank, just like that. He didn't try to hang around talking to Dels, heading to his newly assigned quarters after the conversation. They had put him in one of the rooms reserved for visiting admirals or senators on each capital ship. It was bigger than his quarters on the Negotiator had been, with an actual window. He sighed, scrubbed at his face, and hit the fresher. He realized halfway through scrubbing off that the tightness in his shoulder wasn't going to go away, and, with an exhaled curse, dried off and took himself down to the closest medbay. The Shen had the same layout as the Negotiator, the ship copied over, just as much a clone as the men she carried. The majority of the troopers in the house were wearing a shade of orange too. They weren't part of the 212th, but the majority of the Third Systems Army had adopted similar colors. Troopers came to attention as he passed, and he tipped his chin in acknowledgement. The medbay had the same general arrangement and the same smell, even if he didn't recognize the medics there of hand. One of them, armor covered in dots, each roughly the size of Cody's palm, directed him to one side and told him to take off his armor, that someone would be by to see about his shoulder shortly. He complied, sitting on a medical bed and letting the background noises wash over him. "Is we even had to come in?" someone said, one of a pair of medics, pushing a cart over to the bed past Cody. It was loaded up with fresh linens and nearly packed kits. The medic who had spoken, he had his bucket off, revealing a blindingly green hair, started pulling out the used sheets of the bed. "I heard only fire and silver can hurt them, and I didn't see any burns on his robes." Cody frowned, attention thoroughly snagged because of everyone on the Shan currently. He could think of only one person likely to be wearing robes. The second medic, bucket off as well to reveal scrawled writing, which looked like real, tattooed all over one cheek, said, "Or maybe Grievous has silver weapons." Greenhair hummed, grabbing a UV wand to wave over the stripped mattress. "Don't see why we couldn't have handled it," he grumbled. "This is our medbay. Don't see what a ghost medic could do that we couldn't." "You think he can only get hurt by silver or fire?" Cody thought, jaw tightening, and tends to slide off the bed to go tell them so personally when Bones stepped up to him and said, "What's wrong with you, then? Shouldn't you be resting?" Cody asked, distracted away from the still chattering medics, and Bones shrugged. "The general needed some help," Bones said, and Cody nodded, not asking. Wasn't his place to ask a medic for information about another patient, and he was mostly sure Obi-Wan hadn't taken any serious injuries. Cody gestured at his shoulder, and the Bones grumbled under his breath about the state of it. By the time he finished the treatment, the two medics who had been discussing Obi-Wan were long gone. It seemed pointless to track them down and correct them. They wouldn't be seeing to Obi-Wan's injuries anyway. Cody sighed, instead, and went to sleep. It had been a hell of a long day, and if the conversation he had overheard had brought his thoughts back around to Obi-Wan, to the brush of his mouth and the fierce, white, hot sensation of giving him what he needed, well, no one had to know about that but Cody. They didn't stay on the Shan for very long. The shipyards around Corsica 3 continued to produce new capital ships, scrambling to match the numbers destroyed during engagements with the Seppis. Thuri delivered them to the shipyards within days and looked relieved to have them disembark her ship. The survivors of the Negotiator's destruction moved quickly over to one of the stations orbiting Corsica 3, moving from there to their new, as yet unnamed, home. Cody ended up stuck on the station proper for a time. He had nearly as much paperwork to do as Obi-Wan, it seemed. Reams of the stuff associated with the troopers they were onboarding, acceptance of supplies and munitions, safety checks. It went on and on. Halfway through the stack, the forms adjusted themselves. The string of numbers and the letters that had served as a placeholder name for the new vessel changing to the Vigilance as Obi-Wan made a decision. Cody's mouth curved up at the name. It suited his general almost as well as the Negotiator had. He brushed his fingers over the name, hoping they could take better care of her than they had the Negotiator, and jerked his head up as he heard crisp footsteps in the hall. He was grinning at the door, preemptively, when Twitch stepped through. "Were you just going to hide down here the whole time?" Twitch asked. He had dark, almost black paint on his armor, all thin, straight lines that looked almost like bars. He had followed the motif over onto his tattoos, which stretched up his neck and over his jaw, ending on his cheeks. They were new. He had had no ink when last Cody saw him on Camino. But that had been at the start of the war, when they both got their assignments. Most of Cody's batchmates had ended up directly serving generals. Only Fox and Twitch had ended up at posts away from the front lines. "Figured you'd find me to bother me eventually," Cody said, rising and coming around the table, letting Twitch pull him into a brief, tight embrace. Twitch pulled back after only a moment, putting a hand on the side of Cody's head and squinting at his eyes. What? Cody asked, because that was a strange action. Nothing, Twitch said, easing back with a laugh. Just checking. You want to eat? Traders come through sometimes, so we... Checking what? Cody asked, stiffening there beside this strange desk in this strange place. He knew Twitch enough to know when he was very much trying to change the subject, trying to rush forward so Cody would leave something alone. Twitch sighed, and flashed him a tight little smile. That you were still you, he said, and when Cody frowned at him, he went on. One of the traders who came through knew about vampires. A chill went down Cody's spine, sharp and unpleasant. And I knew your general was one, so I asked some questions. And this traitor told you to check my eyes, Cody said, flat, and Twitch frowned over at him. Cut the disapproving Panthakark codes, Twitch said, drawing up a little straighter, as though they really were back on Tipoca City, having one of the disagreements they had gotten into frequently through their development years, about to have a go at one another to settle it. I care about you. If your general had you under his power, it's my job. You shouldn't listen to stories from random traitors, Cody told him, because griefing hell, the stories people spread were so stupid, and Obi-Wan was somewhere else on this station around troopers who thought he could put some kind of a spell on them, which was... I'm just looking out for you, Twitch said. You're my brother. Vampires can't mind control anyone, Cody said, flat. Well, Jedi can, Twitch countered, still looking irritated. Maybe I should have you checked for... He went quiet when Cody took a step towards him and said, low and even, you are making a serious accusation about a general, my general, on the backing of some rumors from a traitor who probably never even met a vampire. Now, you are either going to make an official complaint and will go through the entire process, all the griefing paperwork and medical testing, and you going on the record about where your intel came from and why you found it actionable in relation to one of the most successful generals in the field, or you are going to shut your griefing mouth about him. Twitch stared at him for a long bit, and then worked his jaw from one side to another. Fine, he said. Forget I said anything. Cody frowned at him. It was, he knew, about the best he could hope for. Good, he said, and then, pulling the rank he hadn't on the Shan with Dells, he said, you're dismissed. Twitch flinched, just barely. A little jerk of his shoulders and a tightening of the skin around his eyes. He was command class, too. They had grown up together, spent almost every moment of their lives together until 3 years ago. But Cody was Marshal Commander of the 3rd Systems Army, and Twitch served on the space docks. "Sir," Twitch said, with a barely there incline of his jaw, clicking his heels together before he turned and stiffly walked out of the room. Cody ground his teeth together for a moment before going back around the desk. He had paperwork to finish, to get them out of here, and suddenly, that felt itchingly important. He worked at it until someone cleared their throat from the doorway. He looked up, already knowing that it would be Obi-Wan. None of his brothers moved that quietly, and anyway, Cody often felt a little shiver across his shoulders when Obi-Wan got close to him. "Everything all right?" he asked when he looked up, worried that perhaps some of the other troopers on the station had said something. "Yes, of course," Obi-Wan said, leaning in the doorway, one shoulder against the frame, hip tilted out and color in his cheeks, pink on his mouth, that change still new enough that it caught Cody's attention each time. "But it is dinner time. Past it, actually." He straightened, wiggling the bag he carried in one hand. "I brought you something." "Thank you," Cody said. He had been prepared to skip the meal if it had gotten them onto the vigilance more quickly, but this was better. "You eatn't yet?" he asked, and Obi-Wan shook his head, coming over to give him the bag, which smelled strange. "Not yet," Obi-Wan said. "They don't keep much synth here. Not a lot of injuries, you see. And I don't want to drop their supplies to a dangerous level." "That's fine," Cody said, a shiver ascending his spine as he hit the controls on his desk, closing the door, reaching for the clasp on his chest armor. "We'll eat together." "Commander," Obi-Wan said, pausing in the midst of opening the bag and lifting out a little closed container. "You don't have to." Cody finished for him, dry. "I'm well aware." He set his chest and backplate to the side, tugging on the seal around his throat to release it and tugging his blacks down on one side. "Perhaps you should eat first," Obi-Wan said, frowning and looking at his throat and... Cody shifted a little in his seat. "Takes you less time, sir, and then we can discuss the last of these forms while I eat." Obi-Wan sighed but nodded. Cody pushed his chair out a little away from the desk, turning to the side as Obi-Wan sat on the edge of the desk, their legs brushing, and put a hand on his shoulder. "You sure?" Obi-Wan asked, the way he always asked when it came to his meals, as though he were somehow unaware still of how much satisfaction Cody drew from knowing he could do this, could provide what Obi-Wan needed to be healthy and hale. "I'm sure," he said, instead of any of that, and Obi-Wan flashed him a smile before leaning over him and... It was the third time ever Obi-Wan had bitten him. It didn't hurt at all. There was just the cool puff of Obi-Wan's breath over his skin and the drag of his mouth, lips soft now, and starting not to have so many little cracks on them, beard brushing against Cody's throat. He listened to Obi-Wan swallow, the sound loud in the otherwise quiet room, and his blood was flowing down Obi-Wan's throat into his stomach. It would pump through his veins, the same blood that pumped through Cody's veins and the veins of all his brothers in his general, too, binding them all together and... Obi-Wan hummed when he pulled away, cheeks stained almost as red as the smear of blood across his bottom lip. "Thank you," he said, the air in the room very cool on the dampness left behind on Cody's throat, sending a shiver down his back and into his gut.
"Don't need to thank me,"
Cody told him, reaching for the little bacta swab he kept on his belt. Obi-Wan hadn't moved yet. Cody wondered if he would just keep sitting on the desk, if Cody's hands would brush his thigh each time Cody grabbed a new pad, and that changed the nature of the tingle in Cody's gut, made it warmer, hotter. He was glad, abruptly, for his armor, even if it pinched. "Well, you should have yours before it gets cold," Obi-Wan said, rising off the desk, unfortunately. Cody nodded and pulled the container over. It was surprisingly good, the flavor mild enough for him, each item deftly separated into individual piles. He ate it while they finished the work, and when they rose, it was to walk side by side down to the Vigilance. They had lost men. Too many men, along with the Negotiator. The ships were built to be excellent war machines, but their evacuation systems obviously left something to be desired. Cody didn't like to think about how many of his brothers went down with the great ship, suffocating as hulls breached and ruptured, or burning as the fuel lines caught fire. He shut the thoughts down. Nothing to be done about it, any of it, except make Grievous pay for what he had done, the lives he had stolen away. And to do that, they needed more troopers to fill the bunks on the Vigilance. Usually, new troopers came abroad from huge transport ships, shuttling them out all the way from Kamino to wherever they were needed on the front. They had lost so much of their crew complement that wasn't even feasible. The Vigilance's first stop had to be Tipoca City itself. Well, their intended first stop, anyway. They got diverted, as so often happened. They ended up fighting, desperately short on men, on some small moon that mostly seemed to be full of farms. They faced no problems from the separatists. Their issues came from the pirates that had taken advantage of the ongoing war movement to move in under the Republic's nose. Even with their diminished troops, they managed to drive the scavengers off soundly, and ended up invited to a large celebratory dinner afterwards. The food offered set upon high, stretching tables that sagged under the weight of it all, had obviously had a great deal of work put into it. It made Cody feel slightly guilty about not wanting to eat any of it. He had no idea what any of it was or what it would taste like. The smells alone were powerful. He didn't have names for the aromas that rose of the various dishes. Nutribars and meal packs generally smelled like nothing. The locals all but beamed with pride and excitement, though, so Cody moved down the line like the rest of his brothers, picking things at random and hoping for the best. He had made it to an entire section full of meat, arranged on skewers with cooks nearby, armed with knives to cut off segments directly onto the plates. When he spotted Bones... Bones was around the other side of the table, talking to one of the locals. Human, short, with straight black hair covered by some kind of shimmery fabric, as Cody shrugged over the choices in meats and left the experts to cut him a piece of... something. Bones said, while a long slice of meat fell beside the pile of whitish, lumpy things with green bits stuck in Cody's blade. "No, I'm not worried these are undercooked. I am sure they are excellent. I just want to know if there are any you haven't cooked yet. Preferably ones still up and breathing." "There's the herd," the woman he spoke with said. She was solidly built, wearing a pale purple shirt rolled up her forearms, which were ropey with muscle and covered with a scattering of burns, old and new. "Why?" "Because, as much as we appreciate your kindness with the meal, not all of us can eat this." Cody lingered over the next spit of meat, though he thought he had more than enough on his plate, because it had to be about Obi-Wan and... "And so you want one of our herd?" the woman asked, sounding befuddled, and Bones nodded. "Not to do it permanent harm," he said. "I just need a little of its blood. Doubt it will even feel the pinch." "Blood?" the woman asked, stiffening a little, and then Cody had no choice but to move on, the line building up behind him. Bones didn't need his help securing supper for everyone anyway. Cody got settled onto one of the blankets spread across the field and spotted Obi-Wan, not long after, drinking while speaking with the local leadership. He picked his way through the meal, eating everything despite the strange tastes and textures. A meal was a meal, and even went back for seconds of some of the meat. Most of the troopers who stayed on planet ended up sleeping out under the stars. It was a pleasant night, and there were worse ways to bunk down than on sweet-smelling grass with countless stars overhead. Cody got invited along to a nearby building that looked like it had hastily been converted into a place to sleep. It was huge and open inside, smelled mostly of grass, and had a line of large stalls along two sides of the lower levels. All the stalls were empty. They were, he and Obi-Wan, apparently to sleep up on an upper portion of the building, a loft that overlooked the lower level.
a local, bald and with the palest eyes Cody had ever seen, led them up the ladder, where there were two bedrolls laid out, covered with an unnecessary amount of pillows and blankets. "We want to thank you again," she said, standing there and twisting her hands together a little. She had introduced herself as Mace.
"It's no trouble," Obi-Wan said. "We are here to..." "Oh, hello."
He paused as a small Tuka leapt down from the rafters, landing beside him and immediately butting its broad forehead into his shin, making a rumbling sound so loud that Cody heard it. Obi-Wan bent, reaching towards the fuzzy thing, and Mace jerked forward, abruptly enough that Cody's hand moved towards his blaster, while Obi-Wan froze into place. Mace ended up not aimed for his general. Instead, she grabbed the Tuka with both hands, pulled it tight to her chest, and took two steps back. Buddy turned away from Obi-Wan. The look on her face was all fear as she said, "Let us know if you need anything, anything at all. I'll be... close. Good night." She scrambled down a ladder before either of them could reply, Cody listening to her, hissing something to the Tuka as Obi-Wan slowly straightened, expression blank, before he sighed heavily and turned to the side.
"What the griefing hell was that?"
Cody asked, standing there, palm still resting on the butt of his blaster.
"Nothing," Obi-Wan said, towing off one of his boots, and Cody made a sound in disagreement because it had quite obviously been something. Obi-Wan pushed off his other boot, set them both by his bedroll, perfectly aligned, and said, "They know I am a vampire. Bones told them, I believe."
"All right,"
Cody said, just watching him, not sure how that related, really.
"You'd be surprised how many people think that means I want to eat their pets," Obi-Wan said, mild, hands falling to the belts around his tunics, turned half away from Cody, tone completely unreadable.
"What?"
Obi-Wan set the belt to the side, beside his boots, and this was a difficult conversation to have with Obi-Wan taking his clothes off right in front of Cody. Both the discussion and the actions fighting for all of Cody's attention.
"Not just me, of course. It is a common assumption."
He shrugged off his tunics, both of them, folded them, and stood there in just his undershirt and leggings, and Cody desperately wanted to find some way to stop from digging at him constantly with little comments and assumptions. He wanted to force it away somehow, looking at the soft brush of Obi-Wan's hair at the nape of his neck, the little freckles above his beard, which had not been visible even a few months ago, and the slight forward slant of his broad shoulders.
"We should sleep," Obi-Wan said after a bit, sparing Cody trying to untangle all the knotted words and emotions in his throat. They ended up stretched out beside each other, bedrolls arranged side by side. Cody rested on his back, eyes closed and mind busy, until he heard Obi-Wan's breath go slow and deep, even out into sleep. He turned his head onto the soft pillow the locals had provided, then, and looked across at Obi-Wan's profile, lamped in the moonlight coming in through a few little cracks in the roof. He looked ethereal, lying there, lashes rested against his cheek, mouth slightly parted, one hand sprawled over his chest, fingers curled slightly, long and calloused with scarred knuckles. Cody swallowed, hard, at the lurching realization that he did not want to close his eyes and go to sleep. Not really. He wanted to prop himself up on an elbow and just look. Imagine lying beside Obi-Wan like this all the time, listening to him breathe and tracing the lines of his face, the rise and fall of his chest, the little shifts of his body under the blanket. Obi-Wan murmured in his sleep, rallying onto his side, and Cody slammed his eyes shut, worried for a moment that Obi-Wan would awaken and catch him staring. His heart beat too fast in his chest, each lurching pound beating at his ribs. He made himself roll onto his side as well, facing away from Obi-Wan, and tucked one hand over his heart, willing it to slow down as he listened to the noises of the night and Obi-Wan's soft, even breathing. He ignored the incessant throb down below his belt, the problem that had arisen while gazing at his general, and purposefully shut his eyes. It was a relief to leave the moon the following morning.
They made it, eventually, to Tipoca City. Cody watched Shinies step aboard the Vigilance, waiting in the hangar bay with Obi-Wan as they poured off transport after transport from the planet's surface. Most of them hadn't painted their armor yet, looking almost jarring in all white. They nodded and saluted on their way past. It wasn't the time for conversations, but it was important that their commanding officers see them aboard anyway. They were so young. Cody knew he had been just as shiny once, but couldn't recall the feeling. He shook those musings aside as the last shuttle disembarked, heading back to Tipoca City, emptied completely of new soldiers. "Well," Obi-Wan said beside him, with a little sigh, "I suppose we should get on our way." They turned and walked together for a moment before their duties took them in separate directions. Cody considered that the Vigilance finally sounded right, at least. The halls no longer echoed so emptily now that she had a full crew inside her halls. The constant buzz of sound resettled his bones as he went about his duties. It was a long slog of a day, not exhausting in the way that fighting for all the hours the Force gave was, but nevertheless draining. It was a relief to finally turn his feet towards his bunk. He would grab a few hours of sleep, hopefully without any emergencies, and then it would be another day of settling the new Shinies and... Commander? He drew to a stop in front of one of the barracks. He walked past as a matter of habit before hitting his own bunk every night, just to make sure that everything was all right and orderly down below. It was full, almost entirely of Shinies. They were a sea of largely white armor, though a few enterprising men had already bustled out cans of 212 gold and started adding the signs to the plastoid. The Shiny who had addressed him stood in the doorway, skin as unmarked as his armor, hair bust completely off. He had some kind of birthmark that stretched from above one ear up to the crown of his head, dark red in color, and with no clearly distinguishable shape to it.
Private,
Cody said, inclining his head, and the trooper straightened a little, looking more excited than nervous.
Gimmel, sir,
he said, eyes wide and bright. He gestured to the two troopers sharing his bunk stand.
Wanted to ask you a question, sir, if you don't mind.
Cody stifled a sigh. He was tired, sleep beckoned, but this was all new for them, and it was good that his men felt comfortable enough to ask questions. Obi-Wan had always said so. He took a step into the bunk chamber and said,
"Ask away, Gimmel."
Gimmel brightened, excitement all but shimmering off him as he said,
"Thank you, sir. We just wanted to know where to sign up to volunteer, sir."
Cody blinked. Volunteers on a military craft tended to be nearly as rare as downtime. Most people learned fast not to offer their help and their scarce free time.
"Volunteer for what?"
he asked, wondering if this was some kind of joke that one of his brothers on Kamino had put the poor shiny up to. Gimmel looked over his shoulder and at his bunkmates, apparently for support, and then back to Cody, nearly vibrating with keenness.
For the blood rota, sir.
Cody stared, a little jolt of pleasant surprise going through him, both that the Shinies knew already about how they tried to address their general's needs, and that they wanted already to help out. He felt his shoulders relax a little and said,
"Hear about that on Kamino, did you?"
"Oh, yes, sir,"
Gimmel said, brightening even further. "We've heard all the stories, sir. Part of why we were so excited to be assigned to the 212th. Cody had a moment of warmth, little poofs that some people were sensible, were always good to find. And then Gimmel went on. "Everyone knows it makes you stronger and faster."
Cody blinked, because that made a little sense.
An unpleasant chill and suspicion washed through his head.
"What does?"
"The blood, sir,"
Gimmel said, with a confused glance over his shoulder.
"Drinking it. We did. No one knows how you do it. Do you keep it down in the medbase? Is it an infusion, or do you drink it, or..."
He shifted, wetted his bottom lip a little.
"Do we bite?"
Something inside Cody's head lurched. He felt his spine straighten utterly, shoulders drawing back. Someone further into the room swore softly under their breath, apparently better at reading changes in atmosphere than most, and worse at keeping their mouth shut about it.
"Bite?"
he asked, the question slipping out between clenched teeth. Gimmel, apparently, could not read the chill in the air, he said, though he did sound more hesitant.
The vampire, sir, we know its blood can..."
"Your general,"
Cody said, quiet and cold, and Gimmel jerked physically.
"That's who you're talking about? High General Kenobi."
Gimmel caught a nervous glance over his shoulder, but his bunkmates had, wisely, decided to scramble off the other end and fade into the crowd, leaving him all alone.
"Sir?"
he said, sounded lost.
"Is it... should we not have asked yet? Everyone knows it's why you're all so strong, taking what you need."
"No one on this ship takes any blood from anyone," Cody said, because he would not have those rumors spreading any further than this room. He couldn't control what people said on Kamino, but this was Uviwan's home. He looked away from Gimel for the first time, gazing out across a crowd of shinies, none of them having any combat experience to their names, full of stories. Not their fault they had heard them, which let him rein his temper in somewhat, but he'd be force-dumped if he let the problem persist.
"I understand," he said, "that some of you may have heard stories about how the 212th treats our general. Let me be very clear. If I find out any of you tried to force, coerce, or otherwise take his blood, I will make you wish they had emptied your tube over the railing to chum the airhouse."
They stared back at him, a sea of tense faces and big, wide eyes, and he went on, through his tight jaw.
"You are serving under a vampire. He is the best damn general in the fleet, so you're griefing lucky. He does need blood, but mostly he drinks synth or what we get from animals. You want to volunteer to help him from starving? You can. No one's going to take it from you any more than you are going to take it from him. Am I clear?"
"A skiver, sir," someone near the front said, and he jerked out a tight little nod.
"Get some sleep," he told them, stepping back from the room, "and don't believe everything people told you planetside."
He took one step away from the bunk room, steaming inside his armor, and nearly jerked to a stop again because Uviwan was just standing there, arms folded inside his robes, expression familiarly blank.
"Grief,"
Cody hissed, because of course he had come down to check on the shinies too. Of griefing course he had. Cody kept going with a force of will, closing a hand around Obi-Wan's elbow and tugging him into motion. For all their sakes, the shinies were mostly just the victims of inexperience and bad intel, but finding out their general had heard them making asses of themselves wouldn't do them any favors in the long run. Obi-Wan fell into step beside him, quiet as Cody tugged him around a corner and up a set of stairs before letting go of him. Obi-Wan kept walking and feeling immensely wrong-footed. Cody followed him.
They ended up in front of Obi-Wan's quarters. He slipped inside with a look over his shoulder and the arc of one eyebrow, a question in the gesture. And so Cody followed him, the door shutting beside them. He stood there in the strangely familiar space. It was just like Obi-Wan's quarters on the Negotiator, except all the piles of mess that had accumulated over the years were gone. As Obi-Wan stepped to the side, towards the little calf machine he apparently had acquired.
"I don't mind giving blood when it is needed,"
Obi-Wan said quietly, and Cody jolted a little.
"They don't need it,"
Cody told him, because the last thing he needed was Obi-Wan getting that into his head, trying to supply 3,000 men, at least with his blood.
"I know,"
Obi-Wan said, sighing as the calf machine hummed.
"I just... the idea doesn't upset me. Donating."
He glanced over at Cody and then away again.
"It's not unusual among vampires. It's
how we feed our children when they are first born. Cody blinked and shifted closer. Obi-Wan so rarely, even now, talked about what vampires were like. It felt like a gift each time he dared loosen his hold on the information he kept in his head. "Not synth?" he asked. Obi-Wan shook his head. The calf finished streaming into a cup, and he handed it over with a slight brush of his cool fingers. "Too hard for newborns to process," he said. "Even animal blood is. They need something their bodies can handle easily." Cody processed that, taking a sip of the calf, and Obi-Wan went on. "And it is not just children. I met a couple once, quite elderly. She had some kind of illness. I don't recall anymore what it was. Chronic. And he would give her some of his blood every day. It helped with some of her pain." Obi-Wan was staring forward at nothing, a faint, soft expression on his face, eyes on something long ago and far away. He said, after a moment, "I apologize if that sounds strange. It
sounds lovely,"
Cody told him, and Obi-Wan blinked over at him, startled in that way that Cody had grown to dislike, because it meant he had expected a hurt that never came.
"Taking care of someone like that, I understand wanting to do it. Force."
He wanted to do it at that moment, wanted to pull his collar down and let Obi-Wan sink his teeth into him. "I am glad you do," Obi-Wan said, smiling at him. "I know Bones doesn't approve when I share with Anakin, but you must understand for me." He trailed off, wrinkling his nose, and Cody sighed. It worried Cody how willingly Obi-Wan tended to be about giving his blood to Skywalker, but the conversation reshaped his understanding of it. He knew Obi-Wan had brought Skywalker up, trained him and raised him. They were family. Obi-Wan wanted to take care of him, and Obi-Wan had offered Cody a drink, too, once. At the time, it had been upsetting, a sickening twist at the end of the sickening day, but vampires took care of each other that way, their families, people they cared about. Warmth rushed out of the center of his chest and had nothing to do with the calf. He took another sip anyway, needing something else to do with his hands and his face before Obi-Wan looked at him too hard. He said, after he swallowed,
"What do you think of the new ship?"
Obi-Wan hummed, turning away and looking across his quarters. He said, after a breath, "Well, she is different." And then he looked over, eyes warm and the mouth curving up. "But all the important bits are still here." And Cody felt that ache, sharp and sweet at the same time, that he felt so frequently these days, when around Obi-Wan,
an urge to step closer to him, to touch him even, to feel Obi-Wan's breath puffing against his skin once more, but perhaps over his mouth this time, like in the Hollows. He blinked and looked away, ignoring the way his heart had kicked over faster and the rush of warmth down his back.
"I suppose they are," he said instead, and tucked his chin. "We should both get some rest."
They made their goodbyes briefly, and he left Obi-Wan standing alone in his room. Cody walked the small distance to his quarters and shut the door, exhaling hard, full of so many wants that they felt nearly suffocating sometimes. He shook his head and took them into the fresh air. They had lost their Natborn officers in the destruction of the Negotiator, too. They weren't grown in tubes, but apparently their new officers were en route from Coruscant, due to arrive before the end of the day. So they were to wait in orbit around Kamino. Cody took the opportunity provided by the forced downtime to go over operating procedures with the Shinies, making sure they were falling into line appropriately. He ended up getting a call to the bridge shortly before the evening meal, Chris crisply informing him over the comms that the new arrivals were abroad. Cody sighed, putting aside thoughts of the meal and changing direction. Introductions were a necessary evil, he supposed, checking his armor quickly and boarding a lift up to the bridge level. He walked through the door to find three new faces standing around a central console, speaking with Obi-Wan. Two were, clearly, junior officers, young and, unless Cody missed a guess, wearing a uniform for the first time in their lives. Above human man and a Pantoran woman, both greener than grass. The third, a taller human man with incredibly pale hair, looked more comfortable in his uniform. "Ah," Obi-Wan said, when Cody came through the door, neatly cutting off whatever Tal Natborn had been saying and flashing a brief smile in Cody's direction. "I told you my commander would be here shortly. Cody, this is Admiral Jacoby and Lieutenants Myrti and Tulop." Cody inclined his head. He mostly got on with Natborn officers. They were largely incompetent in his experience, and not particularly interested in fighting anyway. Happy to let the war go on around them while they sent reports. But they were better, mostly, than civilians, and he had never had one cause a problem with any of his men. Myrti and Tulop nodded his way. He got a brief glance from Jacoby that passed through him, there and gone again.
"We should discuss the Admiralty's latest orders then,"
Jacoby said, returning his gaze to Obi-Wan, who sighed and nodded. They ended up leaving the bridge near immediately, heading for the war room. Cody had a strange, itching feeling between his shoulders the entirety of the way, walking beside Obi-Wan and bringing him up to date on the status of the crew. The war room felt both familiar and not, the same as everything else on the Vigilance, and Cody stepped around to the chair that had been his on the Negotiator, hesitating when Jacoby looked at him and said,
"I'll have Calf." "The machine's in the corner," Cody told him,
Perhaps he had never been on a cruiser before. Most of the admirals hadn't.
Yes, Jacoby said, eyes flicking down to the pad he held, making no attempt to go towards the machine. 2 sugars and a cream.
Cody stared at him, a tight, cramping feeling in his chest, and... Obi-Wan said, "The Marshal Commander isn't your aide, Admiral. If you want a cup of coffee, get one so we can review these orders."
Jacoby looked up from the pad, blinked once, and then frowned over at Obi-Wan, who took his seat.
"Are you having me on?"
he asked, nose wrinkling as Obi-Wan raised one eyebrow at him, expression flat and rapidly hardening.
"Well, what's he here for, then?"
"You said we had orders from the Admiralty to discuss," Obi-Wan said, tone smooth and even, in a way Cody couldn't even begin to understand. "He's, of course, here to discuss them."
Jacoby stared at Obi-Wan for a moment, and then snorted, a harsh, dismissive little noise.
"Please, General. They are meat droids, and very good, I'm sure, at fighting and dying. But let's not pretend here among ourselves that their skills extend beyond that. Now, Commander, I like my calf."
The Marshal Commander ran the entirety of the campaign over Hoth in my absence, Obi-Wan said. Cold as that creeping planet had been when they had had to engage in surface fighting, and has both more training and tactical experience than you can hope to acquire at this point in your life. And even if he didn't, he is human, and he will be treated as such.
Cody felt stiff and frozen into place. He had heard similar before, not out of the Natborn officers, but from people on planets and the news. They all seemed to have opinions about the clones, all of them utterly wrong. Rumors and hateful little whispers that he ignored, because what other option did he have?
Jacoby said, after a breath,
"General, be serious. He's not like us."
"Oh, I didn't say he was like us," Obi-Wan said, voice so very agreeable and so very cold at the same time. "I, for example, never drink calf." It took all of Cody's years of training not to gape at Obi-Wan, sitting there and calmly tilting his head to the side, lips curling up in something, not quite a smile, something that just flashed bright teeth. All the Natborns in the room stared at him, Hells, Cody stared too, and then Obi-Wan said, folding his hands together in his lap, "It is much too bitter for me. Now, I hope I've made myself clear. I believe we have important intel to discuss. If you want something to drink, I recommend you get it. And please, properly educate yourself before we speak again about my men." For a moment, no one moved, and then Jacoby cleared his throat, an uncomfortable, tight little sound, and pushed his chair back. His heels clicked all the way over to the calf machine, the room otherwise dead quiet. Obi-Wan said, just as he lifted the pot. Commander, you take yours black, don't you?
Yes, sir, Cody replied, automatically, still staring at Obi-Wan in a numb kind of shock. It wasn't that he had never seen Obi-Wan talk to someone like that before. He had. It was just normally the kind of behavior he reserved for separatists or the Sith.
Excellent, Obi-Wan said, pointedly, and Cody finally managed to look away from him, down to the pad in front of him, his heart beating too fast in his chest. He glanced up, surprised all over again when Jacoby placed a full mug of caff, black, in front of him.
Thank you, he said,
another automatic little piece of politeness slipping out of his mouth.
Of course, Commander,
Jacoby said, stiff, and took his seat, a cup of his own clicking down on the table. He rearranged the pads in front of him, and Cody pulled himself together, shoving aside the way everything seemed to have jarred out of proper alignment. They had work to do. They did it. Discussing battle plans and the new intel for the better part of 2 hours before the meeting finally broke up. The officers filed out, all of them. Obi-Wan standing last and gathering his things while Cody just lingered.
I'm sorry for Jacoby's behavior, Obi-Wan said into the quiet that settled around them. And before Cody could open his mouth to point out that Obi-Wan was hardly responsible for it, he went on. I've always made an effort to have a word with our Natburn officers on arrival. I simply didn't have time before this meeting to make my expectations clear with them. Cody found himself staring again, helplessly, at the side of Obi-Wan's head. He ached inside, fiercely, and the understated little admission that Obi-Wan knew, too, the lies spread about the clones, the misinformation, because of course he did. Cody's general was terribly smart, and neither blind nor deaf. Obi-Wan knew, and had, for 3 years, apparently, had a word with the Natburns that served around them. Cody wondered what exactly that word had been, because he had never heard any of them make negative comments about the clones they served beside. Well, Obi-Wan said, and Cody realized he had been completely silent, just staring. I suppose we should. He cut off with a sharp little inhale when Cody reached out and gripped his wrist, worried, suddenly, that Obi-Wan would just slip away out of the room while Cody's mind raced along, thoughts all clamoring for immediate attention.
I...
He started, and the words just wouldn't come. There were too many of them, paired with some kind of emotion that felt dizzying, filling his chest with warmth and spreading through his veins. He had no idea where to start, with appreciation that Obi-Wan understood and looked after them, or with a correction because Obi-Wan had said they weren't alike, and that was the only part of it Cody wanted to dispute, because they were, and it was more than the blood that flowed through both of them now. But the silence was stretching, painful, while he sat there, Obi-Wan looking over at him, eyes clear and bright and blue.
Thank you,
he said finally, and Obi-Wan's shoulders eased somewhat,
The lines around his eyes relaxed, and his mouth curved up on the one side.
"We should eat," Cody added, because he wanted to spend a few more moments with Obi-Wan, for he wanted to spend the rest of his life with Obi-Wan. The thought, the realization which had been growing since Obi-Wan had first mentioned a time after the war, jolted down through him like a blaster shot. He felt his pulse beating in his face as Obi-Wan's smile stretched wider, honest and sweet. He gazed into that smile, heart beating triple time in his chest, and realized, with a wash of stunning clarity, just how much he was in love with his general.
"Cody?" Obi-Wan asked after a moment, and Cody shook himself, hard, blinking and trying to think past the sudden wash of realization.
"Yes," he said, and cleared his throat, squeezed Obi-Wan's wrist once, and released it. "Let's get out of here."
And he bust inside his skin, all the way down to the mess, his heart racing and his chest so full he wondered how he would ever take a deep breath again, with absolutely no idea what to do next.
The end. Thank you for listening. This was Rumor Mill, part 7 of the Sanguine series. You can find other parts of this series read by a mix and match of a group of podfickers who really, really enjoyed this series. We're working on some multi-voices for some of them. I have one that I have to edit! So you'll see bedroom conversations some point when I get the spoons and find one person for that one line that's neither Cody nor Obi-Wan nor Quinlan. Because I already have the lines from Obi-Wan and Quinlan, and I have not recorded my part. So, ta-da! Hope you enjoyed.